actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
And the stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
When Kermit the Frog sang, "It's not easy being green." Do you remember that one?
Russia should go away, should shut up.
Try that.
Who's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
Like, seriously, what the fuck? Hi, besties. I am coming to you from Norfolk, rather than where I normally record. So this episode might be a little bit late going up because she's having internet problems. But you know what? That's probably Liz Truss's fault. Everything else is her fault, let's be real. But I'm hoping I can get it up Monday latest. So you will hear this eventually, I swear. Anyway, so, well, it's been a week, quite a week, terrible week, and we're going to talk about it. So, grab a drink, grab a snack, get comfy, get cozy, and get your reading glasses on, because we're about to read some bitches. It has to be done. I'm so sorry. So how has Liz Truss's week gone this week? She hit the ground. She took the pound with her. There are letters of no confidence going in from her own MPs already, and she's only been the Prime Minister for about 5 minutes. Girl, that's not cute. It's not stunning. So... a former Tory minister told Sky News that Liz Truss is fucked. That's cute. Liz is fucked. She is fucked, they said. She's taking on markets and the Bank of England. Her, Quasi, Philp, Simon are playing A-level economics with people's lives. True. MPs are already putting letters in as she will crash economy. Well, I mean, they're not wrong. I think it would have been better if they could have not done that anonymously. Like, honestly, talk your shit, be loud, be public, let her know she screwed up. I don't know, I find that kind of shit a bit cowardly, but that's just me. There's been a little bit of shady behaviour. Rishi Sunak, former Chancellor, has decided that he is not going to attend the Conservative Party conference. He's staying in his constituency. His public reason is that he is giving Liz Truss all the space she needs to own the moment. I mean, I'd say it's probably a combination of the fact that he doesn't want to have to travel during a rail strike, and also he's being fucking petty. He's being petty. He is doing that whole thing of, oh, it's not my party. Well, I don't want to go then. Oh, you bitches didn't vote for me? Well, I don't want to go. Goodbye. I'm staying home. I mean, there's been some other people claiming the same. That's interesting. It's real interesting. So there have also been rumours and reports that Liz and her Chancellor are fighting. The girls are... fighting. The government have denied it, but I don't know, girl. Liz Truss, she lies a lot, so her spokespeople denying that she had a fight with her chancellor, like, I don't know. I'm not inclined to believe anything that comes from Liz Truss's camp. I just don't. So apparently they had a row over how to deal with the market's reaction to the mini budget. If you recall, the market basically said, "You bitches did what?" And just like basically freaked the fuck out. Because the government did something incredibly stupid, and I mean, everyone was kind of thinking, what the actual fuck is, what are you doing? But I guess the market's more so, because, you know, that's just how it is, you know, how it is, girl. So they were arguing over how to react to that. But now they're pretending that there was no argument. So apparently the reason behind it, what was going on, was that the Chancellor was like, we got to do something. We got to give a statement from the Treasury to try and reassure the markets. And Liz Truss was like, no. When I said I hit the ground, I fucking mean it, bitch. No takesy backsies. We are just going to sit here quietly, face forward, lips pursed. We ain't saying a word. And he's like, Liz, we got to though, because pound's crashing, people are panicking, we got to do something. And she's like, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I've spent a bunch of fucking taxpayer money on adult colouring books. I know money, all right? I'm fine. I don't need to do a thing, which, I mean, chaos. But that they are apparently saying that this supposed argument is nonsense. Okay, sure, Jan. So there are a number of people very unhappy with Liz Truss. And who can blame them? Who can actually blame them? So a number of Conservative Party MPs spoke to journalists about this, again, anonymously. One of them said that their constituents were panicking and needed urgent reassurance. And they also said there's a vacuum of leadership and empathy. No offence, but do these... they do realise that that's kind of been a theme within the Conservative Party for a very long time. Like, that's not new. But okay, if you want to act brand new, fine. But... oh, anyway. Liz Truss then had... after a long period of silence, she decided she didn't want to talk to nobody, she didn't want to do nothing. For a number of days, Where Is Liz Truss was trending on Twitter because nobody heard from her, no one knew where she was. She then decides to make her big comeback by doing a whole bunch of media. She wants to do a little media tour. She decides she's going to go and speak to local BBC radio shows, right? She's speaking to Radio Leeds. She's speaking to Radio Norfolk. She's speaking to Radio Kent. Question, actually, real quick. How come Leeds gets its own station, but Kent just has, like, one for the county? Can I put in a complaint about that? But anyway, my nonsense aside, she's speaking to Radio Nottingham, Radio Tees, Radio Bristol, all the radios. And it was chaotic. When I say car crash, I don't just mean car crash. I mean like monster truck rally, but like an actual robot dinosaur just sort of pops in midway through and just starts eating the cars and sets them all on fire. like it was it was kind of satisfying, I'm not gonna lie, but you could literally hear the fantasy that Liz Truss has in her head of her government, her administration, and her contribution to the UK in general crashing down faster than the pound, honey. Like, she obviously has some delusions, and she was faced with the reality of life, and she couldn't take it. And then she had to do that repeatedly. It was... So let's look at some highlights, shall we? So Radio Leeds, their host, Rima Ahmed, opened by asking, "Have you slept well? I'm really glad you're here, because since Friday, the pound has dropped to a record low. Where have you been?" This was a day in which everybody was full of praise for local journalists. They were like, "Yes, bitch. Yes. Drag her. Get her." It was... Opening an interview like that, like, I respect it with my whole heart. I really do. So Radio Norfolk's Chris Gorham asked her, "Since Friday, the IMF, the Bank of England, the Bishop of Norwich, the RSPB, wildlife trusts across the country have all spoken out. Is your judgment better?" And she just said, "I have to do what I believe is right." Oh my God. Well, the problem is, Elizabeth, is that you live in a fantasy land, so... And then she gets to Radio Kent. And when I tell you, I had a moment of thinking, oh my God, I am so happy and proud to live in this county. So... Anna Cookson asked Liz Truss, Anna Cookson, who is hosting on Radio Kent, she asked, "What on earth were you thinking? Are you ashamed?" It's like... It's like we were so in sync in that moment. I just thought, this is us. We are that horse on the county flag, and we are going for it. We are in this together, sis. So Liz Truss, she looks speechless, horrified. She said that she would help ordinary households. Girl, where? Anna Cookson then comes back. She says, "Haven't you been reading the news? My listeners are not sleeping at night." Get her, girl. Get her. Yes. It continues. We're only like... halfway through, like, this is 8-ish in the morning. Liz Truss is just looking like she's losing control of her life live on radio. Oh dear. So she was asked by Radio Lancashire's Graham Liver, potentially Liver, because you're in the north, sorry if I said that wrong, King, if she had ever been to the Preston New Road fracking site. Now, that's a very controversial place, because I've actually been following the whole fracking situation for a long time, because, well, one, I'm nosy and I like to know things, and two, because I spend a lot of time in Blackpool. I think it's a very nice place, and I like to go there and just write and... I hope that one day I'll meet a beautiful girl that will marry me. And one of the things that was very controversial with local people in the community was fracking, because it was causing a lot of issues for people, and people were frightened, and they felt like they weren't being listened to, primarily because they were not being listened to. They had opposed fracking, and the government was like, "Fuck it, we do what we want." there was a stop put to that, but of course now Liz Truss has said, well, we are going to do fracking again. Sorry, Lancashire, fuck you. And so I think it's a fair question to ask if she's actually been there. Has she been to the fracking site? Has she actually even been to Lancashire and spoken to local people and asked them what they think? And Liz Truss said, I don't think I've been to that site in the past. And then the presenter asked her, shouldn't you? It's a bad question. She then follows up by saying, oh, this is so dumb. I'm sorry, like everything Liz Truss says is dumb, but this is just peak dumb Liz Truss. She said, projects only run with local consent. Right, okay, Liz, but the local people of that area have said no multiple times and they have repeatedly had fracking forced on them. So you're lying, aren't you, darling? That's a lie, isn't it? It's a bit of a lie. Then we go to Nottingham. So Radio Nottingham presenter Sarah Julian said that the Prime Minister had broken the 2019 pledge for a fairer tax system. And Liz Truss said the dumbest shit. She said, it's not fair to have a recession. It's not fair to have towns where you're not having investment. Okay, Liz, but we are having a recession, so what's your point? And show me the towns that are having investment. Is it the towns that actually need it? And how much investment are we talking about? Is the investment actually happening now? Or is it hypothetical investment that might happen with your batshit insane tax plans, but also may not? Because I feel like this investment's not actually going to materialise, to be honest with you. Then we go to Radio T. She was asked about how she's going to tackle child poverty. And she said that the number one thing is to help more people get into work and create high paid jobs. I mean, there are many people in full-time work right now that are in poverty, Liz. So I don't think that's going to cut it, darling. I don't think it's going to cut it at all. We then move to Radio Bristol, where James Hansen... oh, my God. Shout out to this man. He attacked her for her scripted answers and said, it's hard to know what is falling more since you entered Downing Street, the value of the pound or the Tory poll rating. Why not both? Why not both, my dude? She was asked to clarify whether listeners' pensions were safe, and she refused to do so, mumbling something about the Bank of England being responsible for that. Jesus, woman. Jesus Christ, Elizabeth. She was also speaking to Radio Stoke. She spoke to John Akers, who said that she was achieving growth by borrowing more and putting mortgages up. And she was speechless. She did not know what to say. She did not know what to say. She took a beat to, I don't know, panic. Because it's not like she came up with anything good. And then she just said, we need to borrow more this winter for the energy crisis we're facing. I mean, if she was doing anything decent with the money that's being borrowed, fine. But I'm just saying, if she hadn't given a tax cut to rich people, she probably wouldn't need to borrow as much. Just saying. So her bad week continued. There are rumours coming from American media sources that state that... Joe Biden, the president of the United States, was not entirely impressed with Liz Truss and not impressed at all. An anonymous source said, following their meeting, Biden told aides that the new British leader, Liz Truss, was really dumb and not to be treated seriously. Oh, Big Joe, you're right. You're right. And then Liz Truss decided after a week of controversy and crashing the pound that she wanted to do another corruption. Why not? You know, just do all the corruption, I guess. Who cares about doing your job properly or, you know, being a good prime minister? Just do some corruption, I guess. So Liz Truss has appointed Dominic Johnson as a trade minister. Dominic Johnson is a Tory donor and the co-founder of Somerset Capital with Jacob Rees-Mogg. He's also just been handed a peerage. Great. So, she's not even smart enough to hide blatant corruption. Jesus Christ, Elizabeth. I don't even know what to say to her. I really don't. Like, what is actually wrong with this government, man? What is wrong with them? What is it? It seems like they actually want to lose. It really, really does. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just absolutely insane. Maybe Liz Truss, maybe she saw the recent poll and just sort of panicked and thought, fuck it, it's not going to get any better than this, is it? It's just not. I'm going home. I can't be asked. So there was a poll this week that was released that basically said, Tories are fucked, goodbye. It had Labour ahead by 33 points, Conservatives on 21%. 21. Jesus. Now, Liz Truss is sort of then in a position of what the fuck, because she can't call an election because the Tories will just be destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. She's in a difficult position if she plans to hold on, because, well, she's clearly not up to this. And so her wild conduct is probably just going to keep getting worse the longer she is prime minister, which means the Tories' chances plummet even further. Because Liz Truss, the one thing she does successfully is making things plummet. So, Jesus. It's like watching a clown falling down an escalator, but then the clown at the bottom sort of hits a trampoline, bounces right up back to the top, and then just sort of plummets back down the escalator, and it just keeps going. And so you're repeatedly watching this clown fall down an escalator, probably the big escalator at Angel Tube Station. And it just the clown just keeps going down and then sort of back up, but not really back up, because it's just back up to going down. So I'd feel bad for her, but she's dreadful. So I just don't. I mean, Christ. I don't know what to say to the girl. I really don't. She's also been going around bragging about a £2,500 cap on energy bills. And Martin Lewis, bless him, Martin Lewis is a money-saving expert. Literally founded a website called Money Saving Expert, which is just needed more than ever at this point. And Martin Lewis has had to step in and basically say, ignore the Prime Minister. She's misleading you. So she's been bragging about this £2,500 cap on energy bills, right? But that's not actually what it is. That's not what her government is doing. What they're doing, the 1st of October guarantee, means that if you use more, you pay more. So £2,500 is the average that someone will pay with sort of normal usage. But if someone uses more and more, they're going to get a bigger bill. And there's nothing really in place to stop that. So on top of all of the wild shit that Liz Truss has done this week, she's also just going around misleading the public and potentially causing people to massively overspend this winter. So thanks, Liz. You're just couldn't ask for a better Prime Minister, honestly. Fuck's sake. So the Sunday Mirror is currently running a campaign to end period poverty, and they are also campaigning for England and Wales to join Scotland in making sanitary products free. And I just wanted to say that I think that's cool as fuck. The decision by Scotland's government, but also it was a lot of work across the Scottish Parliament. It was really impressive and frankly a show of what's possible when you have actual grown-ups doing their jobs rather than the chaotic mess that is often Westminster. I think it was a really great thing, and I think it shows how important politics can be, because it's a decision that is going to change a lot of lives and already is. The effects of that policy are already being felt, and people are having a better quality of life because of the work that's been done on this policy. And so my sincere hope is that the whole of the UK will follow Scotland's lead on that. I mean, there are a lot of policies going on in Scotland that I hope people will follow, obviously. But that one in particular, I really hope. So I just wanted to briefly touch on that because I think it's important and cool. And now for something not cool at all. So, I don't like the Tories, you know this. I never have, and I don't think I ever will. And I will insult Tories all day long. Literally, you could bring me to a place, you could sit me in a room, you could just show me pictures of Tory MPs all day on like some kind of slideshow from hell. I'll have an insult for each of them, trust and believe. But we fucking don't get racial, okay? That's not what we do. It's unnecessary, frankly. It's cruel, and also just on a scoring point, it gives people ammunition against you. It's a stupid thing to do as well as being fucking horrible. So this week, why am I talking about this one? I'm going to tell you. So this week, Rupa Huck, who is a Labour MP, well, sort of, but not really, because she's been suspended from the parliamentary party after referring to the Chancellor, Kwasi Kwarteng, as superficially black. No, girl. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. So she said, if you hear him on the Today program, you wouldn't know he's black. Well, I mean, you could say that about anybody because, like, there's not, like, one particular black tone of voice. Like, that's not a thing. Like, I don't know if anyone can tell my race from my voice. I don't know. If you're wondering, if you'd like to know, I'm mixed race. Could you tell? I don't know. So she also said, he's superficially a black man, but again, he's got more in common. He went to Eton. He went to a very expensive prep school all the way through top schools in the country. They let black people into posh schools, sweetheart. That doesn't say anything about his race. Like, it just doesn't. Like, I think perhaps the point that she was trying to make is that because he comes from a wealthy background, because he's in the Conservative Party, because he had all of these advantages, that means he has less in common with the average black person, which, I mean, firstly, I don't think you can really say that because there are also very affluent black people. There just are. And secondly, going to those posh schools or whatever, having money, being the chancellor, none of that changes the color of his skin. He is still a black man. Like, that's, he just is. And I mean, the interesting thing about race is that, in a sense, what I'm going to say may not make sense to some people, but some people are going to get what I'm saying right away. We all experience it differently until we don't, you know? And what I mean by that is everybody has their different experiences with their race and how it kind of interacts with their day-to-day life. But there will always be a moment in your life where your race will be, like, very obvious and very apparent to you, if that makes sense. There will always be a moment where you'll be reminded that you'll never be able to just go through life normally. There will always be someone waiting to remind you of what your race is and what that means for you, right? For him, this could be that moment. I don't know. I don't know his life. Like, I don't know his experiences. Like, for me, I've had many of those moments. I've had moments where people will, like, yell racist stuff at me in the street, and I'm like, oh, okay. I guess that's a big question mark to the, you know, to some people who've maybe thought I was racially ambiguous enough to not look too ethnic to shout out in the street. or not ethnic enough to have that, I don't know. I remember years ago, this was, although it was kind of just after Brexit, although similar things had happened before, so it's not just a Brexit thing. I was going to a restaurant in town, and I was with some of my family who are white. So I have two families, essentially. But the ones that live in England and that I spend most of my time with, family-wise, are white. So we were waiting to be seated at a restaurant, and the waiter takes us over to this table, and these people who were sat sort of at the next table, basically just started looking really uncomfortable. And they kind of looked up at the guy like, please don't sit that ethnic here. And I'm thinking, oh no, not this. Girl, not this. And then they actually said straight up, can we be moved? And the waiter's like, why? And then this woman just looks straight at me. Straight at me. And I'm just stood there like, oh, okay, great. My family start getting upset because they're obviously seeing what I'm seeing, but they're not used to seeing it. So they're freaking out and they're getting angry. And I'm like, no, just leave it, just leave it. It's not worth it, just leave it, just leave it. I'm having to kind of be the voice of reason here because I know how this goes. If we get upset, particularly if I get upset, she's gonna act like she's all freaked out. She's like, oh, I'm so scared. That horrible ethnic lady, she was so scary. It would be very that. And so I was like, no, we'll just leave. We'll just go somewhere else. I literally had to go somewhere else. And that was my reminder. Go, you ethnic. You know, and many other moments in my life. Being called the M-word in primary school, that was fun. I remember when I was at university, and for those that don't know, in the other half of my life, I'm a writer and I write things, stories and poems and songs and things. And I remember when I was at university and I was doing an open mic poetry thing. And people liked my poem and they thought it was good. And I was really on a high and I felt really good about myself. And somebody came up to me and she asked me why I had read a poem about love. And I was like, well, because I wrote it and I thought it was good, so I thought I'd read that. And she was like, right, but I thought people would want to hear about race from you. And I was like, excuse me? Pourquoi, bitch? Like, it was very obvious. She thought because I'm not a white person that I should always be writing and talking about race, right? I mean, there have been a whole host of other things, terrible things that have happened to me at poetry-related events. I mean, there was one person who straight up told me that I was very talented, but I sounded like a street urchin. And I was like, thank you. I'm kidding. I didn't say thank you. I went home and I cried and I tried to do elocution lessons through YouTube videos. But anyway, back to my original point. My point is that, you know, going to posh people's schools and having money doesn't actually change his skin colour. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to have the same experiences as every black person, because every black person is experiencing life differently, every single one. But the advantages that he has does not take away his right to his race. And it's incredibly damaging to try and argue that you can, and to try and say, well, oh, but he's not really black. Like, I mean, he is, just on an obvious and basic level, yes, he is. And it's not for anybody else to tell him or to say that he's not. So it's obviously quite gross. So I don't actually understand why she would say that. It seemed incredibly stupid. Just really, really stupid. And I don't understand why. Just why? Why, girl? Labour was having a good conference. Why'd you have to go and spoil it? But yeah, that shit was gross, and we're not cool with that. Speaking of Labour's conference, so they announced at their conference, and I found this quite interesting. They announced that if they were in government, they would create GB Energy, a publicly owned clean energy company that would deliver British jobs and greater energy security. Interesting. Interesting. I actually think that's an interesting idea. I do. I would like to see how that unfolds. I think it's interesting. I think it's a sensible idea. I mean, I'm all for nationalising. It's the new frontier. I watched Hairspray earlier today. Sorry. So Wes Streeting had a good time at Labour conference, apparently. Labour MP, Shadow Health Secretary. He was doing karaoke and he sang Angels by Robbie Williams. I was a bit cringe, I'm not going to lie. Especially because it was just cringe, mama. It was cringe. And he was replacing lyrics and just being a bit sad cringe. It was very that. What else has been going on at Labour's conference? Labour Party had a little conference. Well, Rosie Duffield, the MP for Canterbury, Labour MP, she's a bit controversial because she's a friend of Joanne. You know what I mean? She's a friend of Joanne, the wizard lady, you know? She's a little bit gender critical, as the kids say. Well, I don't know that the kids say that, but you know what I mean. So she was speaking. I'm not going to say all of the things that she said because there were some things that I don't think I need to repeat. I don't, you know, this is my space and I don't think I need that there. But she was speaking at an event. It's interesting because there's a clip as well, and Rosie Duffield is standing up, and behind her there's a sign. I can't make all of it out, but I know that the first word of the sign in big letters is lesbian, and Rosie Duffield is a straight woman. That just amused me. Why do I never get invited to speak at lesbian events? I'm delightful and I'm a very good public speaker. Even if I sound like a street urchin, I sound like a very charming street urchin. Wouldn't you agree? Anyway, so Rosie Duffield was speaking about Eddie Izzard for some reason. And she said that if Eddie Izzard makes it onto an all-women shortlist to stand as a parliamentary candidate, she will leave the Labour Party. But the trouble with that is that the Labour Party is no longer using all-women shortlists for Westminster seats. So this is a scenario that's never going to happen. But she's making a big speech and making a big deal of it as if it is going to happen. But Rosie Duffield, you know, she's not a stupid girl and she's not the kind of girl to be uninformed. I smell a stunt. I really, really do. I feel like this is attention seeking, playing to bases, like, there's no way that she doesn't know that this scenario she's getting people worked up about isn't going to happen. She must know it's not going to happen. She's not dumb. So I don't know why, apart from for attention. I don't know why she has done this. It's a bit embarrassing, babes. It is a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you. I feel a bit embarrassed. For you, obviously, not for me. I feel great, but speaking of people I'm embarrassed for, Douglas Ross. It's been a bad week for Douglas Ross. So Douglas Ross is the leader of the Scottish Conservatives and a cringe clown. So apparently there are multiple groups within the Scottish Conservatives. Can't be a great number of people because they don't have a huge number of MSPs, but apparently there are some groups within the party that are plotting against him and could try to oust him before the end of the year. Oh, mate. And it gets worse because it was reported that I can't get over this. It's so stupid and ridiculous. It was reported that at a memorial service for the Queen, Douglas Ross was being a petty, ridiculous bitch. Now, that was not the source's words, those are mine, but like when you hear what happened, I think you'll agree. So, no, ma'am. So he apparently threw a bitch fit because Lorna Slater, who is the co-leader of the Scottish Greens, was sitting closer to Nicola Sturgeon and Liz Truss than he was at the cathedral. Lorna Slater, who is part of the coalition Scottish government. So, I mean, of course, she's going to be closer to other government figures than an opposition leader. And I'm sorry, but what makes Douglas Ross think he's that important? Like, girl, sad cringe. It then gets worse. His tantrum is so ridiculous that the leaders end up rearranging themselves in order of party size at Holyrood to appease his pathetic whining. And then he asked to swap his copy of the Order of the Service with Lorna Slater, because apparently there was a mark on his copy of the Order of Service and he was deeply upset. And so he starts asking her, oh, can you swap with me? Because, you know, you should have a shit one and I want that one. I mean, what a child. What a fucking child. What an abso-fucking-lute baby. What a loser. Honestly, it couldn't be me. Couldn't be me. Could not be me, darling. Could not be me. Would never be me. But I mean, just when you thought that Douglas Ross couldn't be more cringe, he's like, hey, I got some more cringe in me. Are you ready? Are you ready? No, bitch, I'm not. I'm appalled. That's what I am. And continuing with that theme, at the Conservative Party conference, Conservative MP Steve Baker has issued an apology. He wants to say sorry. Who to, you may ask? Well, so I guess he's decided that now he is the Minister of State for Northern Ireland, he actually gives a shit what happens to Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. So he said that it was time to rebuild the UK's relations with Ireland and make sure the two countries went forward as closest partners and friends. Well, I wonder who screwed that up, mate. I wonder who could perhaps be the reason that we have to rebuild anything. So he said, I was one who perhaps acted with the most ferocious determination to get the UK out of the EU. I think we have to bring some humility to this situation. and it's with humility that I want to accept and acknowledge that I and others did not always behave in a way which encouraged Ireland and the European Union to trust us, to accept that they have legitimate interests that we're willing to respect, because they do, and we're willing to respect them. And I'm sorry about that, because relations with Ireland are not where they should be, and we will need to work extremely hard to improve them, and I know that we are doing so. This man is talking about this as if it's just like a little falling out between like school friends over some crayons or something. This is relations with significant neighbours. This is literally our relations with other countries that he openly admits were screwed up by him being obsessed with Brexit. And this is all he's got to say for himself. The Tories, man. Not even once. So, Jeremy Corbyn played a computer game, and quite a few journalists decided that was the most important story of the week, despite the fact that we have an insane person in Downing Street who seems determined to ruin all of our lives. Okay. Really tells you something, doesn't it, about people's priorities. But Jeremy Corbyn played a game. It's not real. He didn't really kill Margaret Thatcher. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, on to something important that happened. Anne-Marie Trevelyan, the current Transport Secretary but former Trade Secretary, had three meetings with the Chinese state-owned nuclear power company, but didn't retain minutes. So there's no accountability, no proof of what actually went down in those meetings. I mean, this is dreadful. This is fucking atrocious. Oh, but let's focus on, you know, an independent MP playing a fucking computer game or whatever. So there are obvious concerns about this. Why was there no record kept of these meetings that she had? It's not like this is, you know, I'm sorry, but it's not like she didn't know that that's a thing she should have done. She's not a baby. She's not a child. She was a fucking government minister. She was a secretary of state. She abso-fucking-lutely should have known that those meetings should have been recorded. There should have been minutes. But there weren't. And what's Liz Truss going to do about it? Probably nothing, because I guess the theme of her entire administration is do what you feel like, regardless of the consequences. Crash the pound if you want. Have meetings and don't take any record of them, even though some real corrupt shit could be going on behind the scenes. Just do what you want. Do what you want, you know? It's just obscene. It's abso-fucking-lutely obscene. I mean, and it seems to go on and on. It really seems to go on and on, because Jesus, it turns out that the Chancellor went to a private champagne reception hours after delivering the budget, where hedge fund managers apparently encouraged him to commit to his plans. The investors who were gaining, who were making money from him plummeting the pound, told him to commit to it, do it. So, not only did they fuck the economy, he then goes and he hangs out with people that are like, keep fucking the economy. Go on, keep going. Keep going, because I'm making money here, bro. Keep it up. Like, I mean, it then gets even worse. It's even worse because, Jesus. There are now reports that there may have been a leak of his little mini budget, which allowed hedge funds information, right? So that they could essentially bet against the pound. So, I mean, surely that's gotta be highly fucking illegal, right? Although, knowing our luck, it probably isn't, because, you know, it's corrupt, it's disgusting, it's immoral, it's vile. So, of course, on this mad little island, it's probably completely okay, especially under a government like this. But the fact is that there are a number of people who made a fuck ton of money off of our collective misfortune. And it's possible that they were given leaks that allowed them to have that insider information. And multiple parties in the opposition are calling for an investigation into this. And I bet this government is going to do everything they can, to try and avoid that. Because, you know, who cares about what happens to the rest of us, right? As long as the government are good, as long as them and their friends are making all their money, right? Hashtag enough is enough, am I right? Like, so let's have a little look at how some other people were feeling about this. So, Paul Donovan, who's the chief economist of the UBS Global Wealth Management, said investors seem inclined to regard the UK Conservative Party as a doomsday cult. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I feel like that's fair. Yeah, I mean, they are just kind of like, we're taking it all down with us. That very much is the vibe for me that, like, I'm seeing and I'm feeling. We're going down, so we're taking it all down with us. And I... So, Chloe Smith, a government minister, was on Sky News this week. She was speaking to Kay Burley. Kay Burley... She decided, I'm not having it. She said, your government is making a millionaire £55,000 better off. That equates to 53 years of £20 universal credit uplift, but you're not going to reinstate the £20 universal credit uplift. And then Chloe Smith replies with, no. So it's okay for millionaires to have a tax cut. It's okay for millionaires to get tens of thousands of pounds back, essentially. But we can't give the most vulnerable in our society just £20 a week. £20 a week. We can give a millionaire over £50,000, but we can't give somebody who is in one of the worst situations, £20 a week. Really? It's sickening, to be honest. Like, it actually is, because that £55,000, what is that actually going to do? It's going to sit in that millionaire's bank account. It's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to be spent on anything, because they're a millionaire. £55,000, it doesn't make a difference. They wouldn't miss it if it's gone. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't actually, it's not useful to them. They don't need it. They literally don't. They've got more money than they will ever need. It's just going to sit in a fucking bank account forever, basically. But that £20 a week, that's real. That is bus fare to work. That is food for the kids. It's new shoes for the kids. I mean, it's, you know, it's autumn, we're coming up to winter. Kids' shoes, they already grow out of them way too quick anyway, because kids grow, it's what they do. But, you know, with the harsher seasons, you know, the shoes are going to last a lot less time. That's just how shoes work, basically. You know, so that could be a new pair of shoes for the kids. That could be a week shopping, if you're really, really stringent, and sort of doing everything you can to, if you're basically just on like noodles and Oxo cubes, that could be some petrol in the car to get the kids to school, get to work, you know. That £20 a week, it's real. It goes back into the economy, and it actually makes a difference to somebody's life. That £55,000 that goes back to a millionaire literally doesn't make a difference. They won't even notice that it's there. So how can the government justify giving that millionaire a tax cut but depriving vulnerable people of something so small? £20 a week. How can they justify that? They can't. They will continue to babble random excuses and nonsense about trickle-down economics, and they will just repeatedly gaslight us. But we all know the truth, because we all understand reality. They have got this the wrong way round on purpose. And it's disgusting. I'm sorry, but it is. So a senior Conservative MP spoke to Beth Rigby and said that the mood in the Conservative Party was disbelief. They said, "I don't think this is sustainable. I predict the Chancellor will get the sack and it will unravel from there." Well, so far, Liz Truss is standing by her man. So I don't know. A Tory MP also spoke to Emily Maitlis and said, I fucking love Emily Maitlis, sorry. I love Beth Rigby too. I don't want to play favourites, but I just stan. I really do. We Conservative Party are just a protectionist racket right now, a gang of marauding ambition, not a serious party. I feel like that's what you always were, but okay, honey. So things continue to just unravel and kind of fall to pieces. There was concerns about pension funds. There were, just everything was just fucking plummeting. And we all know who's to blame for that, don't we? Liz Truss, just, she's only a few weeks into the job and she's just like, I think I'm going to do a financial crisis. Just something different, you know. I just thought it'd be fun, you know, just a bit of a financial crisis, just a cheeky little financial crisis. What do you think? oh my God, I can't believe I crashed the pound. I'm so random. Like, it was very that. And so the Bank of England had to step in. The Bank of England was like, you guys are in a crisis. I'm on my way. This is unbelievable, man. This is unbelievable. So the Bank of England is now essentially having to prop up ridiculous and stupid government policy, which is really great. Love that for us. The Bank of England is having to step in to protect the UK from the UK government. Just a little financial crisis as a treat. Thanks, Liz. Fucking hell. Fucking hell. And then, are you ready for something super unhinged? Are you ready? So a hedge fund tycoon called Crispin Oddie? Girl. He looks like an out-of-touch rich person who's a bit intellectually deficient. Attracts. So he said Remainers are to blame for the run on the pound. What? Honestly, the excuses, man. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you saying? If you don't actually know what the word remainer means, you can just say that. It's okay. Like, I feel like there are a lot of people that just throw out, it's like how a lot of people say like woke all the time now, and they obviously don't know what it's supposed to mean. And it's just like, girl, this is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you. This is cringe. And now from cringe to catastrophic and disgusting, it was confirmed this week that the government has not actually decided if they're going to stick to the previous promise of uprating benefits in line with inflation this autumn. So, incompetence and evil, a winning combination. Fucking hell. Again, abandoning the most vulnerable in our society to pay for tax cuts for the rich. It's just revolting. And frankly, the fact that the fact that they are just sort of umming and ahhing on this publicly and filling people with anxiety is again disgusting. And I'm sorry, but I don't know how these people can sleep at night. I just don't. Me, I sleep pretty poorly because I have insomnia and shit, but like when I do sleep, it's pretty okay because I'm like, well, I'm not crushing economies and ruining people's lives. How is Liz Truss managing this? What is she doing? I drop the good night sleep routine, sis, because I need to know. I got way less on my conscience than you. That's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. But opposition parties are apparently in talks with some Tory rebels who are trying to overturn the mini budget. They're not sure how they're going to do it. They're not sure when they're going to do it. But they are at least sort of like halfway to a plan. And you know what? That's kind of all we got right now. So I'll take it. Jesus Christ. get a load of this. Okay, so it's now Monday morning. So we've had over a week of the government sticking to their batshit insane tax cuts for the rich nonsense plan, right? They stuck by it even when it crashed the pound. They stuck by it even when the markets were pleading with them not to. They stuck with it even though it was very obvious how unfair and disgusting it was, right? And they insisted it was the right thing to do. But now they've U-turned and they've changed their mind. But I'm not giving them credit for that, and I'm going to tell you why. So the Chancellor has released a statement saying that it is clear that the abolition of the 45p tax rate has become a distraction. We get it. We have listened. Firstly, don't be fucking flippant with me. Do not get an attitude with me. We get it and we have listened. Shut up. You obviously don't get it, because otherwise it would not have taken you this long to come to this decision. If you actually got it, you wouldn't have made the stupid decision in the first place. You just wouldn't. If the Chancellor that we have actually had any understanding of money, any understanding of the current crisis that we're in, there is no way that he would have come out in the first place and said tax cuts for the rich. If he had any understanding of his job, his responsibilities, he would not have done that in the first place. So for him to get an attitude and be like, we get it. No, you don't, bitch. You don't. And that's the problem. That's the fucking problem. That's why we're in the mess that we're in, because you don't get it. Because you don't get it. That's why. Mess. So here's the thing. They were happy to stick with it when it crashed the pound. They were happy to stick with it when it put people's pensions at risk. They were happy to stick with it when the public were saying it was unfair. But I think what has changed their minds is their own MPs freaking out. That seems to have been one of the big moments, the big sort of trigger points that made them change their mind. Which says it all, really. And to be frank, a lot of damage has already been done by the government initially taking this decision and then standing by it for as long as they did. A lot of damage has already been done. Sure, the pound is slowly recovering right now, but there was a lot of damage done in the last, you know, in the last week or so. That does not just get automatically fixed because they've made a U-turn. That damage has happened, you know. And frankly, I think that there's a lot of damage that's been done in the nation's trust in the Conservative Party, frankly. I mean, not that there was much of it left, but it's very obvious to me that that damage has been done. So again, that kind of makes the we get it, we've listened attitude even more gross, because it's like, you don't even understand what it is that you've done here. Like, you don't understand what you've done. You're coming in here with an attitude, but you don't understand the damage you have done, my dude. Like, you just don't know. Also, this idea that this tax cut for rich people was a distraction. I don't know what they expected. Genuinely, I don't know what they expected. Like, at a time when everybody, everybody is fucking going through it, you know? When we are faced with price rises in everything, food, energy, housing costs, transport costs, everything, just the entire cost of living is going up massively. Our wages are not, for most of us. And then the government just comes out and is like, tax cuts for the rich. What did you expect to happen? What did you expect to happen? Did you expect people to be fine with it? Because if that's the case, if they genuinely expected people to be fine with rich people getting a tax cut at a time when the rest of us are struggling, if they genuinely expected that, then they're insane. They're insane, and they have no understanding of the crisis that the rest of us are going through. Genuinely, they don't get it. They don't get it. On top of that, the tax cuts for the rich were not the only problem with this mini budget. One of the major problems was that there was not enough help and support for everybody else. And I don't see that problem being fixed here. I just see him making one change to one stupid part of his mini budget. I don't see the rest of it being fixed, frankly. Okay. We get it. No, I don't think that you do. So he was also speaking on BBC Breakfast after the announcement, and he said he had not considered his position at all despite the U-turn on the 45p income tax rate. Why? See, here's the thing. This is somebody who has clearly massively failed at his job, who clearly has such little understanding of his job that he was able to screw up to this extent. And at no point did he have the self-awareness to say, maybe I'm not the best person for this job. It's disgusting. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's gross. That's insane. Obviously, he should be considering his position. He should have considered his position as soon as he wrote out his little mini budget, and right up at the top, he had tax cuts for the rich during a cost of living crisis. That's an immediate point where you should be considering your position. But he didn't. And he's still not going to. Because like I said, the key point of Liz Truss's government is basically just, do what you want. Have fun. Liz, laugh, love. Okay, besties, that's all for this week, but I will catch you again next week for a brand new episode. Love you. Bye.